In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This evening we are looking at Lesson 23 of My Catholic Faith on Venial Sin. On the picture we see, I believe that's God in heaven there with Moses there holding his arms up as the battle. I believe there's a battle raging. Let's read the caption and see here. We are prone to look upon venial sin as of no consequence and to be careless about guarding against it, forgetting that it is second only in evil consequences to mortal sin. In Holy Scripture we see from many examples how God regards venial sin. Even in this life, He has punished it most severely, for only a slight doubt about God's mercy because of the wickedness of His people. Moses was punished. He was not permitted to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. Okay, so obviously the picture must be showing the angels and God holding back Moses so that he is not permitted to enter the Promised Land. What is venial sin? Venial sin is a less serious offense against the law of God, which does not deprive the soul of sanctifying grace, and which can be pardoned even without sacramental confession. 1. A sin can be venial in two ways, when the evil done is not seriously wrong. If we sin against God in matters of slight importance, we commit venial sin. Grumbling when told by your mother to open the window is not gravely wrong. It is a venial sin. When the evil done is seriously wrong, but the sinner sincerely believes it is only slightly wrong, or does it on the spur of the moment without sufficient reflection or without full consent of the will. Stealing an expensive diamond ring is seriously wrong, but if the sinner took it in the belief that it was only a cheap imitation, the sin had not full consent and is venial. If one eats meat on a day of abstinence, thinking it only a slight sin to do so, or if one in a sudden outburst of anger insults a companion seriously, he commits a venial sin for lack of sufficient reflection and consent. Examples of venial sin are impatience, slight fault-finding, lies that harm nobody. Because only can a lie hurt nobody? It hurts the one saying the lie. The word venial comes from the Latin venialis, meaning easily pardonable. Even the most just of mortals falls into venial sin again and again. God permits this to keep us humble. The most imperfect of mortals attains a very high degree of perfection as soon as he can avoid all deliberate venial sin. As soon as he does not commit any sin deliberately, with full advertence and consent. If a person is in the state of grace, venial sins are forgiven in many ways without necessity of confession. Provided one has sorrow and a sincere resolution not to commit the sins again, they are forgiven not only by confession, but also by Holy Communion, by acts of contrition, prayer, good works, etc. A distinction exists between venial sins and imperfections. Imperfections are faults that arise from ignorance or weakness, not from a bad will. For instance, involuntary distractions in prayer, white lies told while telling a story, or in exaggerations or jokes, bad manners that hurt no one much, are imperfections. We should, however, try to avoid all imperfections, for they are not praiseworthy, are often a cause of irritation to others, and make us accustomed to doing what is not correct. How does venial sin harm us? Venial sin harms us by making us less fervent in the service of God, by weakening our power to resist mortal sin, and by making us deserving of God's punishments in this life or in purgatory. Although venial sin is not a grievous offense against God, it is nevertheless a great moral evil, next alone to mortal sin. It is like a drop of ink in a glass full of clear water. The ink, however little, takes away the clearness. If often committed, venial sin weakens the will, lessens our power to resist evil, and makes it easier for us to fall into mortal sin. He that contemneth small things shall fall by little and little. Ecclesiasticus 19:1. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in a very little thing is unjust also in much. From St. Luke 16:10. A great fire is started by a tiny breeze. Venial sin, by weakening the will, makes us indisposed for good and lukewarm in God's service. Venial sin deprives us of many actual graces we need for resisting temptation. When a mirror is dusty, it cannot reflect the image clearly. Similarly, the mirror of the soul, when dusty with venial sin, cannot reflect the light of grace and justice. God will not bestow his blessings and graces on one whose soul is disfigured by venial sin, as a distinguished personage is not expected to embrace a man who is disfigured by a skin disease. Venial sin deprives us of heaven for a time. If we die with venial sins on our souls or without fully satisfying for them, we have to expiate for them in purgatory. A great desire not to offend God in the least is the best proof of love and loyalty towards our Heavenly Father. Holy Scripture shows many instances of God's hatred for venial sin, which he punishes severely even on earth. For her curiosity, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. But I tell you that of every idle word men speak, they shall give account on the day of judgment. St. Matthew 12:36. How can we keep from committing sin? We can keep from committing sin by praying and receiving the sacraments, by remembering that God is always with us, by recalling that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, by keeping occupied with work or play, by promptly resisting the sources of sin within us, by avoiding the near occasions of sin. Prayer and the sacraments protect us from sin. They are like a strong fortress against which the enemy strikes in vain, and within which the soul remains safe in the grace of God. When the apostles were in danger on the lake of Gennesaret, they had recourse to prayer. We are even in danger from sin while we live. Let us build up around us a rampart of prayer. God will protect us as he protected the apostles. He will answer our prayer. The soul nourished by the sacraments is strong and will not easily succumb to sin, as a healthy body does not easily succumb to disease. Even good people fall into sins frequently because they forget God's presence. Let us remember that the eye of God is always upon us every single moment, and if we love him, we would never sin, never insult his presence by sin. If we had a distinguished personage before us, would we commit indecent acts? Would we steal or use bad language? But is not God the most distinguished of all persons, and is he not always looking on us? When we are in the state of grace, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in it as Jesus Christ lives in the tabernacle. If we remember this always, we shall be greatly helped in avoiding sin. The most practical way of avoiding sin is to keep occupied with work or play. Man must do something. If he does not do something good, he will do something evil. A busy instrument cannot be used in doing mischief. Robbers will hesitate to enter a house where the occupants are busy. If we are occupied in doing good, we have no time to sit idly and wag our tongues in gossip. Okay. We do have a couple of questions here that were typed in. And the first one, are we aware when we do venial sins? As we just read there, we're not always aware. Sometimes we commit venial sins without thinking or by impulse or through anger, led by passions and fits of passions, I guess, that really take over us, and we're not really thinking clearly. And so in those occasions, yes, we can commit venial sin unaware, whereas opposed to mortal sin, it was necessary that the action, omission, thought, word, or deed be something seriously wrong, and we must know it is seriously wrong. We must give full consent to it and be willing to do it anyway. So these thoughts must all take place for mortal sin, and it is, if any one of those are missing, it becomes a venial sin instead. Okay. The next question, do we not pay attention when it happens? And I guess obviously the answer to that is most of the time we're not paying attention. We forget God, we forget the presence of God, we forget the Holy Ghost living within us. Does holy water always wash them away? Okay, that's an interesting question, because holy water is a sacramental, and there is an indulgence attached to sacramentals. And it's all, I think, how I'm going to understand wash them away. If I gain an indulgence sufficient to remove the punishment of my sin, I guess you could say, then it's washed away. The indulgences are generally listed for a number of days or months or quarters or in these manners, and that corresponds to the canonical penances or the severe penances that were issued in the early days of the church. So indulgence of 100 days would be equivalent to doing the canonical penance, the harsh penances of the early days, for 100 days. And whatever merit that would gain to wipe away the punishment of venial sins. And so if that's what we're looking at by wash away, then that holy water washes them away. And again, there is a degree, I guess, if you will, of venial sin, just as there are different degrees of mortal sins, some being more severe than others, some deserving a greater punishment than others. Likewise, in venial sin, there are various degrees in culpability. And likewise, gaining the indulgences using the various sacramentals. The indulgences that we gain can be hindered. So if the church has granted 100 days of indulgence for blessing ourselves, making the sign of the cross with holy water, that 100 days indulgence can be lessened if we're not paying attention, we don't, or we put some obstacle in the way, haphazardly, whatever it may be, we don't fulfill that obligation to gain the indulgence completely for some reason, some impediment. So I can't really say that holy water always washes them away. Holy water is a nice sacramental to be used, but also there are other sacramentals, and probably holy water is the greatest of these sacramentals, and is very useful in removing the punishment from these venial sins. Okay, we have another question here. Do we have any solid ideas on how to keep the presence of God always before our minds? St. Paul says to pray without ceasing, to pray at all times, and I think really that is the answer to keeping God in our hearts and our minds at all times. But how do I pray without ceasing? I've got to occupy my mind at my labors, my tasks, whatever I'm doing. often is very critical to our health and life, that we pay attention to the machinery that we're operating, what we're doing. But that does not exclude the possibility of praying, because also, as St. Paul says, it doesn't matter what we do as long as we're doing it for the love of God. And I think if we can develop the habit of calling upon God when we begin various actions throughout the day, and even the most minutest of details, to call upon God and ask His guidance, His protection, when we get out of bed in the morning, when we get dressed, when we get in the car to go somewhere, when we begin our task or we change task, when we sit down to eat, in all these different occasions when we, I don't know if you want to call it shifting gears, are moving to different aspects of our day, we can call upon God and specifically make a prayer, even if it's a simple sign of the cross. We can make ejaculatory prayers throughout the day, especially if we're struggling, there's something difficult going in our life. We should find it relatively easy to call upon God, Jesus, have mercy on me, Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for me, call upon our guardian angel. These short prayers throughout the day will help us greatly, but all of these things are habits that we need to develop. If I want to keep the presence of God before me all the time, I need to develop this habit of prayer, this habit of constantly referring everything to God. When something goes wrong, to ask God's help, but also to be resigned to God's will. If it is your will that I suffer this, that I bear this cross, then I only ask you not to take it away, but to give me the grace and help me to carry it as worthily as I possibly can. One of my favorite prayers of our Lord was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. And I think very often in our difficulties, our trials and tribulations, our struggles, even day-to-day struggles, that can be our prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. So we need to, keep God before our mind all the time by prayer, by using the sacramentals. So many people wear a brown scapular and they just forget that they have it on. And I've talked many times, I think, about the idea that the sacramental, the scapular in particular, is the scapular, the brown scapular, is the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It's a Carmelite scapular, it's a Carmelite habit. And wearing that is not something you just put on and forget about, and then when you die, you get to go to heaven. Wearing that scapular is a daily activity, and throughout the day, you should notice by the discomfort that I'm wearing this scapular, and lift your thoughts to the Blessed Mother, to God, to your guardian angel. And it's not meant to be comfortable. It is a habit of penance. And when we're enrolled in the religious life, we beg to be accepted into the habit of penance. And so the scapular that many people wear, this sacramental, is designed to help us keep the thought of God before us at all times. How can I offend God while I'm wearing this scapular? How can I offend the Blessed Mother whose scapular I wear, whose rosary I carry in my pocket? Just reminding ourselves of what we're wearing, where we are, this habit has to be renewed continually over and over again. All right. Do we have any other questions? Okay. Well, with that, then I think we will go ahead and end this class a little early. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Act of resignation to the divine will. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.